On this last day of the Christmas season, we celebrate the feast of the baptism of the Lord. During Christmas, we celebrate the birth of Christ, of course. So it's only fitting that we conclude with the celebration of his baptism, which is the basis for our own baptism, that is our birth into Christ, our rebirth as Christians. Today's feast reminds us of the importance of baptism, the need to be grateful for having received it, and to renew our commitment to live it out more faithfully, our baptismal promises. First, why did Jesus get baptized in the Jordan River, together with all those poor sinners lined up at the Jordan River? Jesus was sinless, after all, the all-holy God incarnate, and therefore had absolutely no need of a baptism of repentance. But he did so because, first, it was the Father's will, and then to manifest himself in a more public and solemn way, as the long-awaited Messiah, as the eternal Son, as the voice of the Father declared, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." The first manifestation of our Lord in a very solemn way. And also, with the descent of the Holy Spirit in the form of a dove, there is the manifestation for the first time of the Most Holy Trinity, that great mystery, the greatest of mysteries. And there are other reasons, too, why Jesus was baptized. We can enumerate several of these. First, by means of his baptism, Jesus practices humility, that virtue which is so fundamental, necessary for us to get to heaven. If we're not humble, we won't get to heaven. But if we are humble, we'll surely get to heaven. The Lord desired to be baptized, St. Augustine said, so that he might freely proclaim through his humility what for us was to be a necessity. Furthermore, Jesus took his place among all those sinners in order to be, pointed out by St. John the Baptist as the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Jesus is the fulfillment of the Old Testament scapegoat, that goat that was cursed, and all the sins of the people were, as it were, spiritually, loaded upon it, and then sent off into the wilderness, into the desert. In some way, Jesus identified himself with sin. St. Paul writes about this in the second letter to the Corinthians, chapter 5, when he says, "For our sake, God made him, Jesus, to be sin, who did not know sin, so that we might become righteousness of God in him." Moreover, by his immersion in the waters, Jesus would in some way sanctify the waters, all waters, making them capable, in a sense, to cleanse us even of our sins, to cleanse not only our bodies, but our very souls. Of course, this is possible. It does happen. It is the matter, that's required for the sacrament of baptism, together with the prayers, the words, of the church that make it efficacious, that real cleansing. And finally, Jesus' baptism would prefigure his true baptism, which would be on the cross. As he referred to, "I have a baptism to be baptized with, and how I am constrained until it is accomplished." So his baptism and his passion and death, through which, or by which, the floodgates of the waters of eternal life would be opened up for us. The water is coming from his heart with the blood. Kind of a new deluge covering the face of the earth to save us. So these are just a few reasons why Jesus submitted himself to baptism, the baptism of repentance in the Jordan River. But why must you and I be baptized? Of course, you know, because our Lord wills it. He commanded his apostles to baptize in his name. It is the first of the sacraments of the church, the sacraments of Christian initiation, together with confirmation and the Holy Eucharist. Baptism is the doorway which enables us to enter the church and have access to all the other sacraments and all the graces of the church, which are infinite. The treasury of the church, the graces are infinite, all entrusted to her by our Lord. Baptism makes us children of the church, children of God. So it's not a mere ritual, a nice ceremony. You know, baptism brings about the miracle of making us really holy, changing us from sinners into saints. I believe it was Saint Elizabeth of the Trinity who, I don't know if she did it or would have done it if she was present at the baptism of one of her nieces. You know, she would have genuflected, you know, before the the just baptized baby. Of the presence of God that floods the soul of the baby and is turned into a saint, you could say. No longer a child of wrath, but a child of God through sanctifying grace, which is a very share in the life of God. So baptism enables us to die mystically with Christ. That is the symbolism of, you know, going beneath the waters, being immersed in them, so as to rise to new life with him, rising up out of the water. Receive forgiveness for sin, original sin first, and then all actual sins, if there are any, especially in the case of adults, all that forgiven. And then we receive the supernatural virtues, all of them, all the gifts of the Holy Spirit, the capacity for supernatural merit, eternal life. We receive the indelible mark on our soul of a baptized person, that we are marked for Christ for all eternity. That mark will never go away, indicating that, yes, we belong to Christ. And we have God's presence within our very souls through baptism and sanctifying grace. God's presence in your souls. So in a word, baptism makes us really children of God. So much so that the words that the Father uttered at Jesus' baptism could also be said of us in a certain sense. You are my beloved Son, with you I am well pleased. Of course, we have to live up to that. And for all these reasons, Jesus solemnly declares, Amen, amen, I say to you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and the Spirit, without being baptized. You can't get to heaven ordinarily by water or extraordinarily by blood, martyrdom, or by desire. These considerations on baptism should move us to be more appreciative, more grateful for our having received the sacrament of baptism ourselves. Being grateful to God, first of all, who has given us this grace through Our Lady's intercession. Grateful for or to those human instruments that made it possible as well, our parents, our godparents, the priest or deacon who had baptized us. We can maybe pray for them. Maybe the anniversary of our own baptisms, which we hopefully know, more important than our birthdays, when we were baptized, to celebrate that day. Pray for those who made it possible. And how can we best express this gratitude for being baptized? I mean, a number of ways, but one of the ways is simply to be more faithful to our baptismal promises. And what are those promises we made? Rejection of sin, Satan, all his works, all his empty promises. We made those promises, and we renew them at least once a year in the church's liturgy, but it'd be good to renew those more often, perhaps daily. Be grateful for your baptism. Live as children of God, which you are, children of the light, living in a world that is filled with darkness, pervaded by darkness. We need to be salt, as our Lord told us to be, for a world that's corrupted, going to waste. And yet the corruption of the best, as the saying goes, is the worst. Christians who are to be the very best are oftentimes, sadly, the worst people because they don't live up to their baptismal promises. Too many Christians have become corrupt themselves, have become children of darkness themselves. Too many of us have become lukewarm in living out our faith. This is true for all of us, for the most part. All of us here today, we've become lukewarm. We've compromised with our very enemies, the world, the devil, and the flesh. This is the fundamental problem in the church today. Too many Christians living as non-Christians or anti-Christians, And some Christians even persecute the church in high places. The solution is that we take very seriously our own baptismal dignity. We are children of God. Take more seriously our baptismal promises, our baptismal vocation to holiness of life. Today, we should renew our commitment to not be a part of the problem in the church, in the world, in our country today. Problems which will foreseeably escalate, become worse, be more difficult for us to live out our faith, most likely in the months and years ahead. So we have to really prepare ourselves for an ever greater challenge. And this can be a very good thing for us, to wake us up. Stop being so lazy and unfaithful Christians. We need to be part of the solution. To be Christian, really. Not in part, but completely. Not for a time, but for all times. Especially when it's hard and inconvenient or dangerous. Let us ask Our Lady for this grace. For she is Mother of the Church, Mother of all Christians, Help of Christians, and the Mediatrix of all graces. And while we're at it, we turn to St. Joseph too. During this year of St. Joseph, in a special way, that patron of the universal church, the whole church, and he will surely intercede for us powerfully to be more faithful as he was in his life, in living only for Jesus and Mary. And so be it. Praise be Jesus and Mary. Fructum ventris tui.